recording. Welcome, everybody. It's Elaine Taylor-Klaus, and it is Wednesday, February 3rd, the 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time PSS call in 2017. Did I hit all the highlights, everyone? And today we are going to be talking about acknowledging and validating. So let's start with a little check-in and see where everybody is this week. Little celebration, and then we'll see where we go from there. So who wants to give us a start?
Julie,
you just got voluntold.
Okay, that's cool. this is Julie. Checking in, I think the last month or so I haven't been particularly focused on my children because my dad announced he was getting married to a woman that we're not too excited about. And so, and then they got married last night. So the celebration is not so much that they got married, but the celebration is that hopefully all that drama is over and now we can just move forward and now I can focus again on my family. And because that's what I want to be focused on. So there you go.
Awesome. So can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Do you feel, at the end of the day, do you feel good about the way you rose to the occasion?
98% yes.
98 is an A plus, just saying.
Thank you. Yes, I think there were definitely, I rose to the occasion, I think, a lot better than my sisters did, and which I think was good for their relationship with my dad. So.
Yeah. I bet. Good.
Yep.
Congratulations. And
Thank you.
Welcome to the next step of family drama.
Yes. Thank you.
And Mark, I see that you've joined us. Welcome.
Yes, I have. Thank you.
Anything you have to add since we just were doing Julie's check-in?
All I heard her say was something bad, and that was the end.
So what's your check-in or celebration?
I don't know yet.
Okay, circling back to him. Tammy, how about you? What's up for you?
So the check-ins are, we're talking about positive things.
Yeah, just sort of what's going on these days and try to see what you have to celebrate. Doesn't all have to be positive, but we'd like to try to find a silver lining in it somewhere.
Yeah, that's always hard. I mean, every day I do realize that I'm lucky to be a parent, even though it sucks the life out of me sometimes. And so I'm always, I think every day I am focused on doing better and being a better parent, but it's just remembering that in the heat of the moment that is very difficult. So I think the good thing is that I haven't given up. I haven't just thrown my hands in the air and just said I'm defeated and this, you know, this crap. But
I think there's a lot of power in that, Tammy. You know,
well,
like what you're saying is I'm grateful. I'm aware. I'm committed. My intention is to keep trying, and I'm not giving up.
Yeah, I really think, I mean, that is the truth. That is the truth. I feel it is very difficult. We're going through very difficult times right now, but at the end of the day, I'm very grateful, and I know that we'll make it through. So I think that's positive.
That is. And I just want to reinforce, I guess, in the spirit of today, and acknowledge that not every parent has the capacity to say, I'm aware, I'm focused, I'm working my tail off to do this well, and I'm not giving up.
Mm-hmm.
That strength that you bring to this will serve you and serve your family incredibly well.
Well, I pray that is the truth, so I'll hold on to that. Thank you.
Yep. Kelly, what about you? What's your check-in or celebration for today?
I guess my celebration is that my son's in kindergarten, and it was a very rough start, and they had progress reports, which is kind of midterm reports here, and he actually got, like, the highest grades he could, even in conduct. And that was a celebration.
Wow.
That's huge.
That
was huge. Yeah.
That is huge.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious, how did you celebrate with him?
I mean, I told him congratulations and how proud I was of him, and I said that we would try to do something together to celebrate, and he got upset because he wanted me to go to Target and buy him a toy, and I said that would not be what we did. So he's kind of a little pissed off right now, to be honest with you.
I can relate to that so strongly.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's some opportunity here. I like that.
Uh-huh.
to see what acknowledgement and validation will bring to that dynamic and help you shift it. It's really cool.
Yeah.
So anybody have a sense of where you want to take aim today?
This is Kelly. We're having a lot of food problems at my house, and I think it's a lot of it's about control, because he doesn't have these issues with his other caretaker. It's because he goes to somebody's house every day, but he gets off school until I can get him. And with my daughter, it was a little easier because I could just say, fine, don't eat it, whatever, and just go on. But he has something called encopresis, and he does need to eat certain kinds of foods. And those, it's limited what he'll eat anyway that he should eat. And it's really become a struggle, because I feel it's just that I would like to take aim on that, because I lost it this morning about it. And it's just becoming
okay.
More and more difficult. Yeah. And it's becoming,
and
I think
tell
it's
me the name of the condition again.
It's called encopresis. It's kind of a gross thing to talk about, but basically he gets very, very constipated. And if he doesn't eat like he's supposed to, obviously it makes it work. And it actually stretches out the colon, which leads to bad stuff. So, and it's just
five,
like the last month, all of a sudden it's like, boom. It started when he was 3, and he's 6 now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Condition of, like, a biological condition, or is it something
it's kind
that
of both.
They believe has
it's
been created
of,
over his?
It's kind of both.
No. Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of both. I mean, I think it kind of happens, and then, from a physical standpoint, and then because it hurts, they withhold, and then that kind of leads to other psychological.
Right.
It's both, kind of, yeah.
Yep, okay. And I know you just answered me, but I missed it. He's 5 now?
He's 6. He just turned 6 in December.
Okay. So clearly what you're looking at is you know, and you're clear that there's a control issue.
It seems to be. I mean,
no, there's.
Yeah.
I think you're right on target. Just the nature of how change you want to see.
I'm sorry, you blanked out for a minute. I don't know if you're talking to me or.
Yeah, I was, and I'm sorry. My phone is still aggravating. Where would you say the change is for you in terms of what's the change you want to see, where you would take aim?
I mean, obviously, I would like him to eat so that we don't have to go through things like accidents for a 6-year-old. And, you know, I'm worried about the long-term consequences of some of this stuff, but I certainly would like it to be more peaceful around here where it's not a constant struggle or, you know, I mean, and it doesn't matter in the past month what I put in front of him, including chicken nuggets. I don't want to eat that.
So is there, and we can get more into it in a little while, but I think what I'm hearing you say is you want him to buy in to eating.
Yeah, and eating the proper foods. We can't eat cereal all day, you know?
Right.
That he's going to have to eat some fruits and vegetables. He's just going to have to. He's different than other kids. Some kids can deal. I mean, or he has to have pretty painful treatments that happen to him.
Okay.
And it just won't get better. I mean, he'll be 13 years old having these issues. He'll be 20 having these issues.
Well,
and that's hard to explain to a 6-year-old.
Yeah.
Well,
so,
I mean, there are.
So what,
well, they just have obstructions at that point. They just have to have surgery.
Right.
You know.
So you want to get his buy-in to eating certain foods without a power struggle.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that would be lovely. Mm-hmm.
And just one more and I don't want to get too deeply into his issue here, but
yeah, I know it's not ADHD.
Are fiber pills and water, that kind of thing, an option for him, or is he too young for that?
Apparently, well, yeah, I mean, he gets Miralax. He gets fiber,
yeah,
like the powder, and he's supposed to drink about 50 ounces of liquid a day, which, as you know, most adults don't even drink that. It's pretty hard to get that
right
down a kid that age. If he could, he'd drink milk all the time, but obviously that's not what he should be drinking all the time.
Right. Okay. All right. So right now we're taking aim on getting his buy-in to eating certain foods without a power struggle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, Tammy, what about you? Where do you want to take aim?
Mine is different, but I can empathize with Kelly. I have an 8-year-old where we struggle with this on a daily basis with enteropresis and then not wanting to eat. And so, I mean, I'll be very interested in how you help her with that. And I'm not sure how, if we're supposed to chime in on other people's things, but that, I mean, I'm very interested in.
It's really helpful. I mean, think about it. Two out of
it
four
is
parents
helpful.
All are dealing with the same medical issue.
Yeah. And it feels very isolating. I mean, it's very
yeah.
isolating as a parent to have this particular issue. And it's like, what are you doing wrong? I mean, come on. He's sick. Why isn't he potty trained? It's tough. And we'll just make
yeah.
him eat. Well, that'd be awesome. You know, I mean, I wish I could, you know.
Right.
Awesome.
It's not that
right.
easy.
Make him
not
a smoothie.
No, he's
got texture issues. He's not going to touch up smoothie.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Okay.
So,
all right. So, Tammy, do you want to take aim in the same place, or is there something else you want to look at today?
I certainly could. One of the things that I was thinking of for me is I have two kids, a 5 and an 8-year-old, and I know I've talked about this before, but you know, they just are, when they're in the same space, they're just constantly fighting with each other. It's either verbal or it's physical, and now it just doesn't take place at home. It takes place at daycare. It takes place out in public when we're over at a friend's house, and sometimes it gets so out of control. I mean, you just want to die of embarrassment because your children are not acting normal. And I just don't know how to handle that, really, honestly. And my friends are kind, and they try to offer, you know, constructive criticism, and I don't take it in a bad way. But at the end of the day, I look at them like, I know your kid is a good kid and can behave themselves, and you can correct them, and they'll learn from it. But my child doesn't do that, or my children don't do that. So, that advice is just not going to work. And how do I deal with my children?
Let's bring it down to what's happening in your world. Because getting your kids to stop fighting, sibling squabbles, that's hard to just eliminate, right?
Right, right.
But is there a particular area where you think that there's, you know, it should be easier for them to get along, or you want to help them get along, or, you know, is there one particular time?
I just have to have eyes on them all the time, so I don't know if I'm...
So when's the one time it would be easier for you to not have to have eyes on them?
When would be an easier time?
Mm-hmm.
Before school.
So for them to get along in the morning before school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And is it before they get to the breakfast or after? Can you be even more specific?
It's kind of strategic unless one of them opens or wakes up before, it's time for me to try to wake him up. And I try to get up and get my stuff done before. But, it's whenever they start to occupy the same space. So if they come out for breakfast, they don't go in each other's rooms because that's just, you know, you're in my space, that kind of stuff. And they start fighting.
Right.
So I guess. I don't know. I mean.
Okay, so let's do that. Let's talk about getting
to go to my. I would like to be able to go to my friend's house, let them go downstairs with their child, and all of them play nice. That doesn't happen. My kids start to fight. And
okay,
I guess.
So which one of those do you want to focus on? When you go to friends' houses or in the mornings?
Well,
I know you ultimately want to do it all, but you got to start somewhere manageable where you can see some successes.
Right. Well, I guess, I don't know. Okay. We'll pick at home because that's daily.
Okay. It's frustrating, I know.
It's
so we'll stick with in the mornings before school once they start occupying the same space.
Yep.
Okay. And Julie and Mark, what about you guys?
I would like to take aim on Logan, my 12-year-old, thinking that he has to hold on to the TV remote all day long. He wants to be in control of the TV. He wants to choose the show. He wants to watch YouTube. And it's like he comes into the family room and he immediately locks in on wherever the remote is, tries to get it out of whoever's hand. It's like he's obsessed. And I know it's a control. He wants to control something in his life. But it's frustrating to everybody else that it's like he's in charge of the TV. No. In my mind, no, you're 12. You're not in charge of the TV. So that's where I'd like to take in.
Okay, so let's try to frame this in something that you want, because there's sort of a negative there, which is I want him to not. So what do you want?
I want, I'd really like for him to not be so obsessed with the, okay, that's a negative too.
I sense a pattern here.
Yeah. What do you think, Mark? Do you think, can you help me reframe it?
I think getting him interested in doing other things other than sitting down and watching TV.
Okay, so those are two different issues. One is, let's focus on getting Logan, finding something else for Logan to be engaged in. And then the other is, maybe what I would say is sort of a respectful sharing of the TV remote when the TV is on.
Yeah, I'd like the TV time to be shared across the family and not so, I'd like him to share the TV.
Well, we talked about doing a schedule, but we just haven't implemented it yet. I think
that
would work.
So, and I don't want to get too far off before we get through this subject today, but I do want to sort of pose, so we have talked about it. We've talked about putting a schedule in place. What's standing in the way of doing that?
Sitting down and doing it?
Doing it,
okay.
Yeah.
Does it, when you think about doing it, does it make you feel anxious, like this is just going to create a fight, so you'd rather avoid it? Or you just have another space to create it?
Haven't thought of it.
What, Mark?
We haven't thought about doing it.
We haven't set a time, or actually it hasn't come up since we said we wanted to do it, because we've been busy doing other things.
Right.
Getting ready for a wedding.
Yep. Life interferes sometimes.
Yes.
Okay, so we'll stick with respectful sharing of the TV remote when the TV is on, and sort of know that there's a subtext here, which is about finding something else for Logan to do as well, but that it's a separate issue.
Okay.
Does that work for both of you?
Yep.
Okie doke.
Yep.
Okay, so let's get into today's topic for a little bit and see where it takes us, because the topic is acknowledging and validating. It's part of the critical response area for positive parenting. It's something we talk about a lot. You've heard us talk about the ACE principle or the ACE strategy, you know, acknowledgement plus compassion before you get into problem solving. And acknowledgement and compassion, when you blend those two together, that's really what creates empathy. And we've been talking, Diane and Jeremy and I have been talking because, you know, some conversations have happened throughout the week about what is acknowledgement, really? What is validation? And what do we mean by that when we talk about it? Because there is some sense from some people that acknowledgement is showing appreciation, right? And talking about in this context is that acknowledgement is about recognizing the perspective that our child is bringing to the world. It's sort of like looking at the world through our child's lens, acknowledging what their experience is and validating that is their experience. That's really what we mean here, because our kids are often feeling wrong. They're feeling judged. They're feeling disappointed, either disappointing or disappointed in themselves. And when they don't know why they're not able to do what's asked of them, that's when they create these scripts for themselves that they're lazy or crazy or stupid or, you know, that they're a bad kid, all of those low self-esteem messages that they reinforce for themselves. And interestingly, in the context right, if they're feeling out of control in so many aspects of their lives, they're going to search for a place where they can be in control. So whether it's the remote control or food or a sibling, they're seeking a sense of being on, you know, an owner of their own world. And so acknowledgement and validation is often a first step way before we start problem solving or redirecting a child's behavior is to help them see that we see them, that we understand that they're struggling with something, that something's hard for them, and that we have some compassion for that we feel for them because we know it's hard. And just sometimes being seen in that way can do a lot to help a child begin to let go of some of that need to control, because they're no longer trying to have to prove something to everyone and to themselves. So it is about affirming and it is about appreciating and expressing gratitude. But beyond that, helping them see that we see what they're struggling with. We see what's hard for them and we get that it's hard for them. And it's valid that they're frustrated or angry or scared or resistant. That's a valid feeling for what they must be going through. And when we can acknowledge and validate that their experience and their feelings, it takes them off the defensive and gives them an opportunity to then come to us, work with us, trust us, problem solve with us, because they're no longer pushing us away, defending, and trying to prove that they're okay. So I want to stop and ask you guys, what comes up for you? What do you think of when you think of acknowledging and validating? And is it sort of along this line or is it different? What comes up for you?
This is Tammy, and if it's okay that I speak.
Yeah,
right as you were. Right as you were talking about that, I was thinking about my son, my oldest son, who's 8, who is just looking for this validation. And I am not doing a very good job of giving it to him, obviously, because this morning he looked at me as we're walking into the kitchen, and he said, "Now, Max is grounded today, right, because he bit me on Sunday twice. So he should be grounded from the game for at least 2 days, Mom, you know." And I think it's that he's looking for me to say, you know, yeah, I realize your brother hurt you, and that's not okay. And, you know, I give him part of it, but I don't give him all of it because I feel like they both feed into it. So, but I feel like I'm missing the mark. I'm not understanding what he needs from me. But I guess I don't really know how to give him that acknowledgement and validation without actually feeding into some of the behaviors. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but
yeah,
I feel like they're both responsible in a way, you know. So,
so what is it that you think they need from you?
Well, I mean, you've said a couple of things that kind of struck me, like, okay, why can't my kids just get along? Well, maybe they're both vying for that attention. I'm just white, you know, half the time, and I'm a single parent, so I do everything, and so I don't have the time. I don't make the time to give them that one-on-one attention, and it's hard to do that because when I'm giving one attention, the other one wants the same attention, and you know, I'm divided, but obviously they're needing more from me, and they're fighting each other over that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe subconsciously, I don't know. And right. I don't know if that makes sense, but it might.
Throw it out to the group on the call. Does this is what she's saying resonate for anybody else?
Yes, it does. Exactly.
Can you say a little more?
Yeah. Well, Logan, he does that often. He'll ask, why isn't Parker being punished like he gets punished?
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to not side with him, but feel for him sometimes because he brings it on himself.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't want to... Or I don't want to, like you said, Logan's, he's a negotiator, you know, he's a manipulator, not in a bad way, he just, to get what he wants. And so if I give into, okay, yeah, Parker's in trouble too, then he'll think, ooh, that's all I need to do to get her and, you know, to how do I say it?
Mm-hmm.
He'll start using that too much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as an excuse
yeah.
for his behavior or something. So I hear you.
So what I hear is that you want to be able to acknowledge their experience without giving them license or permission to manipulate with it.
Correct.
Okay. Interesting, because another conversation that Jeremy and Diane and I were having this week, and I'm going to write something on it in all my free time sometime the next month, is this notion of we're finding that a lot of parents feel like their kids are gaslighting, or gaslighting them?
Mm-hmm.
A sense that the kids are doing it on purpose.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
and we know intuitively or intellectually on one level we know that they're not doing it on purpose. They're just trying to sort of manage whatever they can manage in their lives. They're grasping at straws. But it's hard not to feel that way when it feels like you're being so manipulated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think it's hard, too. I mean, I don't know about you. I have one kid who doesn't have any of these issues and truly, at this point in her life, doesn't give us hardly any grief about she's that may change when she gets to be 11 or 12 or 13, but right now it's not there. And he, you know, he's not like that. And it can be difficult because I do think when she gets in trouble, he's like, finally, you know, and I worry about it. Like, you know, is he going to think, you know, he can't ever be her, or, you know, I mean, just that sibling stuff. And, I don't know. I think it's a really hard thing. I think a lot of it probably does come back to wanting attention.
Mm-hmm. Well, so if they're wanting attention, what's the attention they want? Because we do see in our kids that even negative attention is better than no attention,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
So what's the attention they're craving?
I mean,
that's
the million-dollar question.
Wow, that question hit. Somebody, try again.
I mean, maybe they do just want you to see them, you know? It's just that but I agree, it does. It feels very, whether it's food or siblings or whatever, it does feel manipulative, and sometimes it is hard to step back. And they're getting something from it. They have to be. There's some need that they're getting slaked, right, by exhibiting this behavior. They have to be.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I think that's right on target. So if you can choose a behavior, and, you know, we can generalize or we can get really specific, what's the need that's getting met?
I have no idea.
Anybody else have a sense for your kid? Let me rephrase the question. Let's ask this question. What if you were to focus on acknowledgement and validation for your child, what need do you think it would fill for him or her? What can you imagine it might fill?
Well, it's a boost to the self-esteem, that's for sure.
Okay.
Because of all the negative responses they get from the behavior, you know, the daily hammerings, I always say, that Logan gets, you know, he'll even say that sometimes. He'll say, how come I never win? When am I going to get to win?
Yeah, I think Logan just is missing the positive social interactions. He doesn't quite fit in, and he just wants to be accepted, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So he tries to be cool. He does all these things, trying to be funny in inappropriate ways.
Too hard.
And
yep.
Absolutely. So I think that's what he wants, is just that acceptance.
So an acknowledgement for him would be a way of saying you're part of something.
Yeah.
You're not alone. You're not isolated.
Yeah.
Conversely, it's got to be really hard to sometimes feel like you are alone and isolated.
Well, we were watching something. I can't remember what it was, but the question was, say a five-letter word that describes you. And Logan said, alone.
Aww.
I know. Isn't that sad?
Yeah. And it wasn't, the question wasn't asked in that, you know, that it's looking for something positive, I think. You know,
right?
And that's what he came up with, and I was just like, man, I, you know, and I'm, it's like I want to do something for him, but you know, you keep telling him, you know, stop doing the things you're doing because you're being annoying, and the people don't want to be around you when you're annoying, but he can't help himself.
So here's the step. So when you say you keep, that's problem solving, right? That's directions. So the step before that, what happens when he says alone and you meet him where he is and acknowledge that that's a really real feeling for him, an experience for him? Because
yeah.
We have that tendency to go to fix it for him, right? Well, if he would just do this, then you wouldn't be alone.
Yeah.
But this strategy is about meeting him in that place of alone and saying, man, it's got to feel hard to be alone. I'm so sorry you feel alone. I get how you might feel that way. That's got to be really hard for you. That meeting enables you to come together to step forward from there to whatever solution comes out of it. And so here's the visual that's coming to me, okay? It's like we stand in front of our kid, and if you can imagine yourself standing and your kid standing and facing you and you standing and facing your kid, right? And we're trying to get him to walk to us. It's like when they were little, right? One way to do it is to say, come on, just walk to me. I'm right here. And the other is to walk around beside them and say, I got your hand. Let's walk forward together. And when they're little, we're willing to walk around beside them. And at some point, they get to an age where we feel like they should be able to do it on their own. And if they can't, something's wrong. When the truth is, these kids are developmentally delayed. And it's hard for them to do it on their own. And it's hard for them to do what their same age peers are doing. And they want you to know that, to recognize that, and to verbalize that for them.
Last night at the wedding, somebody asked how old Logan was. I said, he's 12 going on 20 going on 7.
That's perfect.
he's all over the place. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah,
and so for him to hear, sometimes, Logan, you're 12 going on 20, and sometimes you're 12 going on 7, and that's got to be really confusing for you sometimes. That's empowering for him.
Yeah.
All right. So if it's okay, Kelly, can we go back to your issue about the food?
Mm-hmm.
Because I know it resonates mm-hmm. for a couple of people, and it resonates for everybody because it's really about control. And so I want to ask the question sort of specifically to you, but for everybody to consider. How can you imagine that acknowledgement and validation, meeting our kids where they are, stepping beside them, can shift their relationship or their need to control?
I mean, I'm sure it would be helpful. Sometimes it's very hard at 6:30 in the morning when you've been up, early to make a really nice breakfast and I'm not going to eat it. But I mean, I guess, buddy, I know this is hard for you to try new foods. I know that it's hard for you because you don't always feel when you have to go to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like that would be really hard. I've never had that problem. Well, actually, I have, but for a different reason, different part of the body. But that's really hard for you, and
Better. I've had that problem too in a different way, so I get how.
Yeah, I've told him that before,
yeah.
And he. I mean, I don't know how much he processed it, but I have told him that before. I was born with a kidney defect that led to some issues that. We're cleared up when I was a little kid, but yeah.
So yeah, to meet him and not necessarily to meet him there at 6:30 in the morning,
mm-hmm.
when you're going to be struggling to just be awake and keep it together, but to have that conversation at another time, right?
Mm-hmm.
To set the stage for the morning when you start having to talk about food. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So what could acknowledgement and validation offer? And the thing about it is, when we talk about it in terms of ACE, sometimes you really have to stay in that acknowledgement and validation place for a while before you get to problem solving.
It is hard
tendency.
To be him.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure that's
sure.
really hard. Yeah. I mean, I think he's probably at the point where he doesn't necessarily want to spend the night with friends. He's afraid of what could happen. He doesn't seem to do it at school. He seems to not go to the bathroom at school at all except to go to the other bathroom. So, and but I'm sure he's nervous about it because it is true that it gets to a point where they don't feel it at all.
Uh-huh.
They, you know, and so I'm sure it is very nerve-wracking, and it is hard to be him, and it is hard to be like, just eat, for God's sakes. You ate brown rice last night. What the heck is the problem tonight, you know?
Right.
And I'm sure he does feel, especially when he's got this sister who would probably eat squid if you put it in front of her, I'm sure sometimes he is just like, what else? Come on, just throw it at me. You know, I mean,
yeah.
I would feel like that if I were his age.
Yeah. So there's sort of two places to go in this scenario. One is to see what that acknowledgement and validation can offer him in terms of is where can you give him control?
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, he's got so much that feels out of his control. And this is not an uncommon issue for kids, whether it's delayed bedwetting or bowel issues. It's really common in this population because these kids aren't paying attention to their bodies and their brains are moving 1,000 miles a minute and they're thinking about what's happening out in space. And they often wait till it's too late because they don't even recognize the body's signs,
mm-hmm.
right? It's really
mm-hmm.
typical where they know they have to pee, but they sit there and hold it because they're really into something and then it's too late.
Yeah. And that's part of his problem as well. It is not the pee part, but I mean, that is part of the problem. If it seems to almost always happen if there's something he really wants to watch on TV or he's on his iPad that he's only, you know, you can almost guarantee if it's going to happen when we're home, it is at a time like that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so, you know, recognizing that that's how it is, that's what's going on. And so part of this really actually is the ADHD. Right. Part of this is the brain's not paying attention to what it needs to pay attention to. And there's good reason for that.
Focus.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And so when you raise awareness to that, it's like, let's make sure, you know, it may be a pattern to let's make sure we go to the bathroom before you start watching a show. Or,
oh, we
know,
do
I
that.
I don't know
we,
what
it's
it
every,
is.
It's, yeah, I mean, that we do. It's like every 45 minutes. And it's a struggle for that. I mean, there's always complaining and, you know, throwing a tantrum. I mean,
yeah.
It's three times
mm-hmm.
a night. So you're like, you've got to go sit there and try to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Well, so the question is that his decision to do it every 45 minutes or yours?
No, that's what the psychologist and the nutritionist and GI person have told us to do because it's kind of a team.
Okay. So if he were part of the decision and he made it 47 minutes or 42 minutes,
okay,
does it really matter?
I mean, he just doesn't want to stop what he's doing, and he always says it doesn't matter because that's not when he goes. That's what he – I don't go then. It doesn't matter.
Right.
20 minutes later when I'm watching my TV show. Oh, well. And he doesn't think it's a big deal. Like, I don't think – like, at least the way – I mean, I think he is afraid with other people, but with us, it's kind of like, what's the big deal? So I poop my pants.
Right.
I'll see what your big deal is.
That's my 8-year-old. Yes.
Uh-huh. Well, and so part of it is – and that's part of what both of you are saying is it's your agenda, not his.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah.
Right. And so that's why it's become a power struggle, and that's why he doesn't have a reason to make it his agenda, because right now you're holding the agenda for him. So, you know, maybe that is the question, is to ask, is this something you want to change?
Well, yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, we're at a Super Bowl party and we have to leave. I mean, we definitely want to change where he's not having accidents anymore. But the way
does
for that to happen
change?
Is he doesn't.
No, I'm not asking you
know.
If you want to change. I'm asking you to ask him if he wants it to change.
Okay.
Because right now it sounds like it's your agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And I get how you think it should be his agenda, but can you see how it's not really?
Mm-hmm.
What are you noticing?
I guess, so you just let him do this until he's a teenager? Like, what do you do?
Well, I don't
and
think
it does make me feel like I don't have any control over it at all
mm-hmm.
when I say that. But I will say this isn't working. Me trying to control it is certainly not working.
Right, good. good first step, right? So I don't think it's an either or. I don't think it's either it's this or he does this till he's a teenager, right? I think the question is how do you begin to get his buy-in to the process so that it is his agenda and not yours?
Mm-hmm.
And that is the case for the potty issues, and that is even the case for the sibling issues, right? What's in it for him to get along with his sister when they're at a friend's house playing in the basement? What's the value to him of that? So you know, all of these are get to that solution place, that problem solving. But before you can get to problem solving effect, you've got to meet them where they are. Really, really meet them where they are, where their head is. Really acknowledge it and validate it. And then invite them to the conversation about changing the behavior. Because even a five-year-old has something to say about when he has to do what. And so an acknowledgement comes in there, too. If you say, well, you know, the doctor says you should do this, and he says, I don't want to. I'm like, so that's when you can go, I don't blame you. I wouldn't want to either. No wonder you don't want to. What a pain to have to stop what you're doing and then go do that. That's acknowledging the experience. His reaction is real and legitimate.
Mm-hmm.
And we have this tendency to say, I don't want you to react that way because it's not rational or it's not right.
Mm-hmm.
But their reactions are their reality. Their perspective is their reality. And when we can acknowledge what their experience is without immediately trying to shift it, or tell them that it's wrong or dismiss it. But just acknowledge that, well, no wonder he feels that way. It will begin to empower him to feel like he's part of creating something for himself and creating change.
Mm-hmm.
But if what we want is for him not to feel that way, is that a realistic expectation?
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. Nope. It's not even fair.
It's not fair. So you got a 6-year-old kid who's got incapricious, who has to eat certain kinds of food and drink all this water and do all of this crappy stuff, no pun intended. Right? Although he would appreciate the humor.
Mm-hmm.
And that sucks. For him.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it also sucks for you, but he doesn't care about that right now.
Mm-hmm.
You got 20 years before he's going to come back and say, thanks, Mom.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Yeah.
All kids want to hear from their parents is, I'm sorry. I'm sorry you have to deal with this. I'm sorry this you have this, you know, situation. I'm sorry, it sucks that we ask this of you. Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what we really mean by acknowledgement and validation, is where whatever their experience is that they're bringing to the world is real for them. And if we want to help them shift it, we have to acknowledge where they start. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I feel like that would be a 24-hour job. I mean, honestly, in my world, I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying, but I think I would just be saying it all the time. And maybe that's okay. Is that okay? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Maybe that's what you're doing for a couple of weeks. It's just being in that place where, man, that stinks.
Hmm. And then do you say, but you have to do it anyway?
Well, you might. You might say, I know, it's. I hate that you have to do that. I'm so sorry. How can I help you make it better? Or how can I help you through it? Or, you know, beginning to transfer ownership from you to him. But it's not that you have to do this for me. right?
Mm-hmm.
It's, man, it stinks that this is what you have to do in life, right? This is your job. And boy, I know there are parts of my job I hate too. I get how that must feel. How can I help? What would make it better? And that's when you can get into the problem solving with them, because
okay.
then it becomes them being part of the solution. It's collaborating with them
mm-hmm.
instead of directing them and then getting annoyed when they don't follow the directions. When,
mm-hmm.
if you look at it, you can sort of see why. So let them know you sort of see why.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry you have to pay taxes, but you and I both know you still have to.
Mm-hmm.
It sucks. They take this huge chunk out of your paycheck. I'm sorry. You know? So tell me a little bit about what you feel like we're focusing on. This is for everybody. It's sort of, what do we focus on in this conversation? And what are you taking away from it?
So this
maybe
is Jamie.
Putting ourselves in their shoes for a little bit.
Okay, so for
yeah.
Mark, it's about putting yourself in their shoes. Absolutely. Who else?
Remembering that they are, yeah, they're kids, but they have feelings too, and they're real and fair. Fair,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, they're legitimate feelings.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, when a baby, when somebody comes up, a kid's doing something, and our first reaction is, don't cry. Well,
yeah.
You know, they're crying for a reason. Okay, who else? So putting yourself in their shoes, recognizing that they have feelings too. What else?
This is Kelly. I think it's just so different from perhaps what the way that my parents raised me or that my mm-hmm. in-laws seem to think it should be or my friends that are, you know, have grown kids think it should be. It's a very big mind shift, and I think it's a really positive one. And I think
mm-hmm.
that it's, I think Oprah Winfrey said that that's the one thing everybody wants. That's it. They just want to be seen. And if you
yep.
can remember that, you're going to really improve every relationship you have in your life.
that's right.
And I think sometimes, and I get to that place, and then you hear stuff from other people, and I know you're not supposed to worry about what other people think, but it can be very difficult, especially when it comes to your own kids, because you worry about how that reflects on you. And I think that then I get back into that standard parenting mode. Well, yes, he is. He just has to do this. And it's, I think I have a hard time switching back and forth sometimes.
Yeah. So part of what you're challenged with is actually, and it's sort of another place to take aim for you, is dealing with the shoulds, with other people's shoulds. You're getting
mm-hmm.
shit all over. Keeping with the theme of the day.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I had this very strong memory of I have a sort of sister by choice. She's been part of my family for about 40 years, so not real blood, but might as well be. And I remember this one time when the kids were little, and she was saying, "You just need to." And I remember looking at her with tears and saying, "You just don't understand." And now they're young adults, and now she gets that she didn't understand. You know, we've had some really good conversations, but at the time, she didn't. And I had to accept that she wasn't going to understand, and I had to trust my own compass.
Mm-hmm.
Not easy to do. In fact, I wrote an article about it once for Family Issues. Go look on the site for an article called Bless Her Heart.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a Southerner, you know what that means, bless her
mm-hmm.
heart.
Mm-hmm.
And it was bless her heart. She just doesn't understand. And there are going to be people who are not going to understand.
Mm-hmm.
Just know that. And, you know, Tammy is a single parent.
Guilt.
That makes it even harder.
Oh, I know. I can't even – the single parent thing, like I mean, I would be – I'm wiped and I'm not. I think it's – and then there's a lot of guilt involved, like me losing it this morning and just throwing this breakfast away. Okay, fine.
Yeah.
Don't eat. And then I have beat myself up all day. Like, what did you solve this morning? Nothing. You made a kid cry. Awesome. You feel better about yourself? Fantastic, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Place of working on forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
So that you can move forward and try it differently. You know, this is a theme that's been happening for me all week, and so clearly it's meant to be this week's theme. But the notion is that judging yourself on the decisions you made in the past based on the information that you have now is self-abuse. Right? Judging yourself on the information, on the decisions you made in the past based on the information you have in the present is self-abuse.
Wow, that's awesome.
So here's where you are now. You have an opportunity to do something to shift the dynamic and the pattern moving forward. Tammy, where were you in terms of ahas or takeaways?
I guess it is kind of just getting out of my head and just trying to see through their eyes more often.
Mm-hmm.
And how much, you know, if I step back and just do that, and I yell a lot, so I try to put myself in that frame of mind, but it gets lost sometimes. It gets lost a lot. So it's just, this is a good reminder just to, yeah, try to see it from their perspective more often acknowledge their pain, their hurt, their whatever, their needs more frequently. I think I'll see some success.
So is there a commitment you want to make to that, or is there some action you want to take?
Well, I just want to keep recommitting to doing that because it seems like maybe not in this way, but to just, this week.
Okay.
In the next week or two, I'm going to work on just acknowledging, their feelings, especially my 8-year-old. My 5-year-old throws more temper tantrums, but my 8-year-old is that he's constantly rebellious, but he is sensitive, and I need to be more acknowledging of how this affects him.
Great.
So I will do that for 2 weeks. I will try that for the next 2 weeks and see if that helps.
Or what I would say is, rather than if that helps, notice what shifts.
Okay. I like
because
that. Yep.
It will shift. It may not initially immediately be better, right? It won't go away immediately. But notice if you notice a shift, because it may give you an opportunity to take aim on something else. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Yes. Okay. And Kelly or Mark, what about you two? Any action or commitment you want to make?
Just Kelly, I definitely want to do. I mean, I agree. I think to try this for 2 weeks and see just what shifts. I don't exactly know with the meals. I guess this is really hard for you to have to eat. I don't know things you eat for the people or not. I'm being sarcastic, but to have to sit here and eat your dinner that really stinks. You have to eat food that you don't always want to eat. And just see how that changes. And if he does actually try something new, to really kind of really congratulate him and, you know, vocalize how proud I am of him for trying something new.
Yeah. And here's what I would offer. Be sort of nonchalant about it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So celebrate it, acknowledge it, but don't be too effusive.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, good job, you know, keep it casual. Keep it mm-hmm. easy. So that it's really about him, not about you.
Yeah.
You know. Mark, what about you? Anything else for you?
I think I'll work on empathizing with him. You know, letting him know that I feel his pain. I've been there. And then, you know, Julie always says that I'm always trying to solve her problems instead of just listening.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe just listen and then see if we can work out things together. You know, let him come up with some ideas on ways to make him a better kid that kids want to hang out with.
Yeah. Well, I that's awesome. And what I want to add to that is, as you're talking about empathizing and listening, is really listening, is to remember that it's okay to ask them, is that how it feels for you? Or is that what it's like for you? Or tell me about what it's like for you.
Yeah.
You know, give them that opening. And don't feel the need to rush into problem solving. Just stay with being with them in their experience. The problem solving will come from it. Okay. You guys rock. This is a tough conversation. And I just really want to acknowledge all of you guys, because this is not easy. It's a little scary, because it does require our own sort of letting go of control. So there's a lot of bravery in taking this kind of action as a parent and stepping out of that traditional parenting role and in collaboration. It's not easy. It's profound, but that doesn't make it easy. So thank you all for a phenomenal call and for all you're doing for your kids. And we will talk to you in a couple of weeks.